If you believe God for a miracle, and you know we can do the impossible, shout yeah.
You're listening to the Climbing Higher radio broadcast with Bishop Eric A. Lambert Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church, a place where miracles still happen.
Bishop Lambert's newly published book, The Christian and the Culture, is now available on Amazon.com and ChristianandTheCulture.com. Order a copy online today.
A friend loveth at all times. How long does a friend love? How long does a friend love? He says, and a brother is born, watch the preposition, for adversity. What's a brother born for? What's a brother born for? All right, now, the King James and the Elizabethan language tends to bring a certain problem with the development of the text. The exegesis is often misunderstood, so we read it from the Living Bible. The Living Bible says, a true friend is always loyal, and a brother is born to help in time, singular. Not times, not forever, but in a time of need. Well, that might be a little difficult too, so we'll go to the Message Bible. And the Message Bible, same verse says, friends love through all kinds of weather, and families stick together in all kinds of trouble. The one thing you should be able to count on is your genetic connection. Now, we like to talk about dysfunctional families. We like to use that as an excuse for our behavior. I come from a dysfunctional family. I submit to you that the greatest example of a dysfunctional family was Abraham's. Abraham was the foundation of dysfunctional families. Eligible. She called herself helping God, and she said, you go on in and sleep with somebody, watch this, who's younger than me, more fertile than me, better looking than me, so go on in and sleep with her. In other words, the house needs to be clean, right? We're both 55, 56 years old. House needs to be clean. I'm going to bring a 21-year-old. Give her the key to the house, let her go into the bedroom, and while you're showering, let her towel you down. And then I'm going to get mad at you when I come home and catch the two of you in bed. You gave them access. So Abraham goes in and he sleeps with Hagar. So the problem with the fertilization wasn't Abraham. Abraham's seed wasn't the problem. Because if Abraham were impotent, Hagar wouldn't have gotten pregnant. So God makes the promise to Abraham that I'm going to give you an increasingly large number of people to increase your family. And God knows the problem is with the seed carrier. But he doesn't tell him that. He passes it on to Sarah. And I'm sure they were working in faith. Faith without works is dead. So I'm sure they were really working in faith. And she did not get pregnant. So she did the dysfunctional thing. The dysfunctional thing is I'm going to help God. So Abraham goes in, does his thing. Hagar gets pregnant. Hagar has a child. Ishmael comes up. Shortly thereafter, Isaac is born. There's a problem. She's angry. Further dysfunction. She goes to Abraham and says, now look, that woman that you slept with, I ain't liking the attention that she's getting. This thing ain't working right at all. Get rid of her. Abraham is a 21st century man in a zero century body. He goes along with his wife, even though he should tell her, look, woman, now you told me to do it. She ain't going nowhere. You just going to have to live with it. No, happy life, happy wife. He turns and says, all right, and he drives this woman away. But because she had the seed of Abraham, God promises the child won't die, and he gives birth to a whole race, which we now call Muslims. And they come from Abraham because of dysfunction. Then God does something with Abraham later. He says, all right, how much do you love your boy? He says, I love him with all my heart. He said, kill him. You know, see, God, you're getting like the Molech gods. He says, I didn't tell you to burn him. I just told you to kill him. Okay. Isaac, 16 years old. Abraham is over 100. They go up to what we later call Mount Moriah. And when he gets up there, Isaac says, I see the sacrifice, I see the altar, and I see the wood, but where is the sacrifice? Abraham, while he's tying him up, he says, God will prepare a sacrifice. But that's not the miracle. Abraham willing to sacrifice his son is not the miracle. The miracle was that Isaac didn't push that old man over and run down the hill and say, "Mama, mama, daddy gone crazy. He gonna kill me. Pack up your clothes. Let's get out of here. I told you you should have left him a long time ago." No, but he submitted because Isaac becomes a type of Christ in that he submits himself to his father's will. And Jesus submitted himself. And that same mountain that Abraham was going to sacrifice his son was the same mountain chain that Jesus ultimately winds up being crucified. Because God is trying to say something here, that I've given you family, but your family shouldn't come between you and me. And some of you are being called to sacrifice family, not to kill them, but not to let them keep you from your destiny in God. So God promises this man, because families are supposed to stick together. They are created to stick together. When families stick together, God's plan is realized. But now we have to examine why our families as African Americans are so disconnected, so dysfunctional. Because there's nothing original. We are what our ancestors were. The key component of slavery was not so much the bondage. The chains could be broken. Legislation would come to undo the shekels. But the thing that was lasting was the mind and the image of individual salvation at the expense of everybody else. Hence, we use the phrase, "I'm going to get mine. If you don't, that's your problem." There's a phrase that we often hear that I find to be extremely insensitive. I understand its purpose, but it is extremely insensitive. Some of you use it because it has become a familiar form of expression. When someone does something to you, you use this phrase, "keep it moving." Theoretically, technically, keep it moving means I don't care what you say, I don't care what you feel, I'm going to keep it moving, and you're just going to have to deal with it. But that's contrary to Bible, because in Galatians 6, he said if somebody is overtaken in a fault, you spiritual one are to restore. And that verb to restore means to get that person and bring them right back where they belong. That may even mean in you. Why? Because we're family. Watch this. Am I genetically related to Sister Lambert? Am I genetically related to my daughter? Why? So theoretically, I'm not related to Sister Lambert. I'm related to her through marriage. She does not have my seed. She does not have my DNA. The Bible never says husbands are related to wives. It says you're one. It doesn't say you're related. It says you're one. The verbiage in the Greek is very unique because what he's really saying is you become one. You start gaining the same outlook. You start thinking in the same patterns. It's not genetic. It's connective. It comes from spending time, from being in the same environment. You pick up information. Now, you will never say that Sister Lambert acts like me apart from what she observes. But you can say that my daughter acts like me by genes. So you will say, "You're just like your father." But you will never say that about a spouse. But when you're a Christian, when you get born again, you got two gene pools. You've got the gene pool of your earthly parents and the gene pool of God. And it is a rule of nature that the dominant gene pool overrides the minor gene pool. Hence, we have evolution. Evolution does not say that man was created from an ape. Evolution says that the greater gene pool rises to the top of the minor one. It does not teach that we evolved. That was something added later. That was not what Darwin started out teaching. Darwin started out teaching that the victim eventually is removed by the conqueror. And so the conqueror is left. And the victim is gone. And so the mindset was that the one that evolved was the conqueror. Somebody down the road, some demon-possessed person down the road began to say, "We evolved from apes." No, we didn't. Because if that were true, we should continue to evolve. Sometimes apes act better than us. When you become a Christian, when you get born again, all of Eric and Moselle Lambert comes to Jesus. God comes into Eric. and puts his family DNA into me. I may identify with Eric Sr. I may say I have my dad's capabilities. Let me tell you this. The gifts of your parents are often even passed on to you. Nancy Sinatra sings. Frank Sinatra Jr. sings. Why? Daddy sung. Aretha sings. Why? Daddy sung. It's passed on. God comes into you. The Eric in me doesn't die. He's altered. He doesn't die. Why? I'm in a new family now. I've been adopted. I'm no longer a foster child. I'm adopted. God begins to evolve in me so that I become family. Everything that Jesus is, I become. It is identified in Galatians chapter 5. The fruit of the Spirit is love, and it manifests itself in joy, peace, long-suffering, goodness, gentleness, meekness, temperance, and faithfulness. If those qualities are not abiding in me, the DNA of God is not overriding the DNA of Eric Sr. If I am still struggling with anger issues like my father, then the DNA of God has been pushed aside by the DNA of my father. At what point in my evolutionary process does the old me give in to the new me as I connect more with family? See, the more I stay around my earthly family, the more I become like them. You ever go around your earthly family and you start talking about the past? You start talking about, and what do you feel? You feel closer to them. You feel closer when you sit down. I feel closer to my family. When I sit with my cousins who are older than me, all of them are older than me. And when I sit with my cousins, and they start talking about, you know, my childhood, and we go over old pictures, and I feel closer to them, and I feel closer to my past. Why? Because they're telling me about that. And you start feeling connective. And we sit there and we eat, and we talk and we share, and we connect more. But you ever notice how you don't do that in Christ? The enemy doesn't want you to do that. He doesn't want you to sit around and talk about your father and talk about the word of God and talk about your experience. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. And they that sought the Lord spoke often one to another. Why? Because God knows through communication and connection comes what? The development of family. So forsaken not the assembling of yourselves one together. Why? Because the more you connect with Christians, the more the DNA of God will have the impetus to push forward. But the devil doesn't want you to do that. He wants to isolate you, keep you off to yourself so that you feel sorry for yourself in your old family, but not your God family.
For a copy of the message you just heard in its entirety, call 215-885-2585. And when ordering, request ID number
1115A.
Today's message is available on CD for $9 and DVD for $16. The Climbing Higher TV broadcast can be seen on WBPH TV 60, Monday through Friday at 7:30 a.m. To attend Bethel Sunday services, join us at 2929 West Sheltenham Avenue at 7:30 a.m., 11:30 a.m., and 6 p.m., with prayer and Bible study being held every Wednesday beginning at 7 p.m. For more information, visit us on the web at www.betheldeliverance.org. Thank you for tuning in to the Climbing Higher broadcast with Bishop Eric A. Lambert, Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church. A place where miracles still happen.